So today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, second canto, chapter number 6, text number 42. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Adya
Adya
Avatara
Avatara
Purusha
Purusha
Parashya
Kala
Svabhava Sut Asut
Mana
Cha Dravyam Vikara
Guna
Indriyani Virat Svarat Sthanu Charishnu Bhumna Ajyo Vatara Purusha Parashya
Ajyo Vatara Purusha Parashya
Kala Svabhava Sadasan Manascha Dravyam Vikaro Guna Indriyani Virat Svarat Stasnu Charishnu Bhumna
Virat Svarat Stasnu Charishnu
Adya
Adya
First Avatara
Avatara
Incarnation
Incarnation
Purusha
Purusha
Karanaravashai
Vishnu
Parashya of the Lord.
Kala
time. Svabhava
space.
Sat
result.
Asat cause.
Mana
mind.
Cha
also. Dravyam
elements.
Vikara,
material ego.
Guna,
modes of nature.
Indriyani,
senses.
Virat,
the
complete whole body.
Svarat,
Garbhadakshai
Vishnu.
Stashnu. Immovable. Charishnu. Movable.
Bhumna.
Of the Supreme Lord.
Translation
and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Karanarvashayi Vishnu is the first incarnation of the Supreme Lord. And he is the master of eternal time, space, cause, and effects. Mind, the elements, the material ego, the modes of nature, the senses, the universal form of the Lord, Garbhadakshay Vishnu, and the sum total of all living beings, both moving and non-moving. That the material creation is not permanent has been discussed many times herein before. The material creation is but a temporary exhibition of the material energy of the Almighty God. This material manifestation is necessary to give a chance to the conditioned souls who are unwilling to associate with the Lord in the relationship of loving transcendental service. Such unwilling conditioned souls are not allowed to enter into the liberated life of spiritual existence because at heart they are not willing to serve. Instead, they want to enjoy themselves as imitation gods. The living entities are constitutionally eternal servitors of the Lord, but some of them, because of misusing their independence, do not wish to serve. Therefore, they are allowed to enjoy the material nature, which is called maya, or illusion. It is called illusion because the living beings under the clutches of maya are not factually enjoyers, although they think that they are, being illusioned by maya. Such illusion-living entities are given a chance at intervals to rectify their perverted mentality and becoming false masters of the material nature. And they are imparted lessons from the Vedas. Vedaishta sarvarnaham eva veja. About their eternal relationship with the Supreme Lord. So the temporary creation of the material manifestation is an exhibition of the material energy of the Lord, and to manage the whole show, the Supreme Lord incarnates himself as the Kananaravashayi Vishnu, just as a magistrate is deputed by the government to manage affairs temporarily. This Karanadakashayi Vishnu causes the manifestation of material creation by looking over his material energy, Saikrita. In the first volume of this book, we have already discussed, to some extent, the explanation of the verse, Jogrihe Purusham Rupam. The duration of the illusory play of material creation is called a kalpa. And we have already discussed the creations taking place in kalpa after kalpa. By his incarnation and potential activities, the complete ingredients of creation, namely time, space, cause, result, mind, the gross and subtle elements, and their interactional modes of nature, goodness, passion, ignorance, and then the senses and their reservoir source, the gigantic form of the second incarnation, Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, and all living beings, both moving and standing, which come out of the second incarnation, all became manifested. Do you understand? Ultimately, all these creative elements and the creation itself are but potential manifestations of the Supreme Lord. Nothing is independent of the control of the Supreme Being. The first incarnation of the material creation, namely Karanarashavai Vishnu, is the plenary part of the original personality of Godhead Sri Krishna, described in the Brahma Samhita 5.48 as follows. Yashyaika nishvasita kalamatavalambya jivanti loma vilaja jagadandanata Vishnur mahansa iha yashakala vishesho Govinda madi purusha tamaham bhajami. All the innumerable incarnations are maintained only during the breathing period of Mahavishnu or Karanarnavashayi Vishnu, who is only a plenary part of Govinda, the original personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna. Om Jnana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshuru Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurudevena. So one might ask, well, what's in it for me? That's the mantra of the material society. What's in it for me? So we can apply that same mantra to this verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam. What's in it for me? Why should I listen to this verse? I could be watching television, I could be sleeping, I could be playing golf. You see, or driving my sports car up and down the Paseo. Why should I be listening to this verse? Most people haven't showed up today for class. You see, there's a big population in Kansas City. How many people have come to the class? Only a small number, 1 out of 1 million practically, who come for class. So Why should we be here? Nobody else is here. Why should we be here holding down the fort at the Rupanuga Vedikala? Everybody else is out there enjoying their senses. Why should we be here? We have to, these are important questions, and otherwise we will leave. If we do not know why we should be here, then we will leave. Sooner or later, we will leave. Simply to be here out of some sentiment, that is not good enough. One must have scientific knowledge. Why am I here in this place? Why am I hearing this verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam? What is the point of it? So why are we? Why are we doing it? The fish is very happily swimming about in the water. But sometimes by the influence of the waves, that fish is washed upon the land. And the tide somehow moves out without him taking the fish with it, and the poor creature is stranded on the beach. Some person, well-meaning person, may come along and think, let me help this poor fish, he looks rather unhappy. Let me give him something that he might enjoy, some watermelon perhaps, or maybe a cigarette. Perhaps he would like to go for a ride in my sports car, that might make him feel happy, you see. May give him a girlfriend, a beautiful girlfriend, he can have sex pleasure with his girlfriend. I may think of so many ways of trying to satisfy Mr. Fish, but all of my attempts will be futile, it will be a waste, because all he really needs to be back in the water. It's all he really needs, it's a simple thing. He needs to be back in the water. All of the attempts to satisfy Mr. Fish on the land are simply shama, eva, he cave along. They are simply useless waste of time. So we living entities have somehow been washed ashore in this material existence. Actually, it was our desire, as this Prabhupada points out here. We were so stupid, we wanted to be an imitation God. Sorry to say, Prabhus, but you were stupid. You wanted to be a God. That's our position. I'm saying it to myself also. We wanted to be God, and therefore we are in this position. We are in this position of suffering right now, this material existence. We are stuck in these rotting, aging bodies. The young man may think it's very nice, but the old men know, isn't it? How problematic the body becomes. More and more problems. More, so many problems with old body. So we get what we asked for. We wanted to be an imitation of God. Krishna says, okay, you try, but I guarantee you won't be happy. You try it. And when you are tired of trying to do that, alright, then you come back to me. Okay. So by our foolishness, our stupid, so-called independence, we got stuck here, stranded on the beach in Kansas City, or wherever, this material world. Stuck here. Suffering like anything. Suffering from the existential blues, you see. This material existence. The existence is a problem. The philosophers have tried to figure out how to deal with the problem of existence. They tried to deny it, saying existence is false. But is that a very good thing? You go to the doctor, you say, my dear doctor, I have a headache. He says, no problem, we can put an end to your headache. Just step over here. We're going to euthanize you. We'll end your headache right away. Is that a very intelligent solution? Do you put to death if you have a headache? It'll end your headache. sugar. We'll just put you to death, no problem. Give you some injection and put you to death. Your headache will be gone. See, this is the Mayavadi solution. Stupid. It's just plain stupid. What you really have to do is just find out how to get rid of the headache, because having a cool, pleasant head, that is the natural state. The headache, that is unnatural. So, we simply have to revive our original identity, that's all. We don't annihilate the identity. That's mere foolishness. They say that I don't really exist, that individuality is false, but who's saying it? It's ridiculous. There's an individual person trying to say that he doesn't really exist, and how can he say anything? This is ludicrous. The Mayavadi philosophers are living proof of the falsity of Mayavadi philosophy. The fact that they have a philosophy, that they espouse a philosophy, proves that they have individuality. If it was all one, like they say, then I say Krishna is God, and he is the eternal form of bliss and knowledge. If it's all one, they have to agree with me. But they disagree with me proves that they have individuality. Their very disagreement with Vaishnava philosophy disproves Mayavadi philosophy. Because according to Mayavada, everything is one. So if we say Krishna is God, then they have to agree, yes, Krishna is God. That's one. So, instead of being caught up in this miserable condition, in this material existence, if we can hear the wonderful soothing words of the Srimad Bhagavatam, they are like that ocean of nectar, that ocean of bliss. If we simply hear submissively, those waves will capture us and bring us back to our original position. If a big wave can come in and capture that fish and pull him back out to sea, then he's okay. He just has to be available when that wave comes. So every morning, this time, that wave comes. That tsunami called the Srimad Bhagavatam, that transcendental tsunami comes and captures all those fish who would like to return to the ocean of nectar. That's why we have to pay attention to the class. If you sleep in the class, you miss the wave. What do they say in Hawaii and California? Catch that wave. Catch the wave. So all you have to do is be tuned in. When the broadcast comes, you have to have your radio set on, you have to be tuned in. And then by the influence of those transcendental sound vibrations, you will be picked up from this material existence, and you'll be returned to your original constitutional nature. It's Krishna's eternal servant. You can swim happily in that ocean of nectar forevermore. No more getting old, no more getting sick, no more dying, no more taking birth, no more adiyatmik, adibhautik, adibhautik. You get cute. You have to sit on the chair, you're an old man. Oh, bad back? Even young men now, you see. Kali Yuga is so bad that even the young men, they're like old men. Kali Yuga, such a heavy age. Yes, such a heavy age. So, we can ask now if there's any questions on these points. Yes.
It's not that Kali Yuga, it's not that Kali Yuga, but the sincere people is some kind of a blessing. Why? Because the situation is so bad. But the intelligent person, they come to the conclusion that they have to do something about that.
Can you make out the question, Devi? What he said? Can you say that again? I'm hard of hearing.
For some intelligent people, Kali Yuga is a blessing.
Oh, the sages say that Kali Yuga is a blessing?
No, for some people, Kali Yuga is a blessing because they urge them to look for the real solution to get out of it.
The mic is actually distorting. Pull the mic away a little bit.
For some people, intelligent people, Kali Yuga is a blessing.
For intelligent people.
Yeah, because it's given.
That's right. That's right. The sages actually worship the Kali Yuga.
It encourages them to find some real solution to get out of it.
Yes, it is a blessing for those who capitalize on it properly. That's a fact.
For me, you know, this is, I think, the only thing is the urgency to, to go on with my spiritual life.
Is this do you have a question? Or you just wanted to make a comment? Mm-hmm. You have a question or you wanted to make a comment?
I comment.
All right. That's a nice comment. That's a fact. It is a blessing. It's very good understanding. Because in this age, it's much easier to get liberated. In previous ages, you had to do all kinds of rigid austerities, Ashtanga yoga for 60,000 years, or huge elaborate sacrificial ceremonies, or incredibly opulent deity worship. But in this age, it's only by chanting Hare Krishna mantra we can achieve all perfection in a very short lifespan. Anyone have any questions? Everybody knows all the answers already. Good. I saw your hand first. Akila Gar. Yes.
Position in relationship to our situation. But we're so dull that we're not able to consciously realize karna narana vasha vishnu, let alone garbhaksha vishnu. We're unconscious
okay.
Of all this.
All right.
So how can we, isn't it necessary to be conscious of a person to appreciate with devotion?
Is there a...
To be conscious of a person's position, to be actually conscious of their presence, of their...
How do you become conscious of the presence of the Lord?
Yes, this is incredible.
Yes.
It's incredible.
Yes, actually these Lords are present. Kara, Narna, Vashai, Vishnu, and Garbhadakshaya Vishnu are present at this very minute. Kara, Narna, Vashai, Vishnu is in between his exhalation and his inhalation at this very moment, and that's why this causing manifestation exists. Because Kara Narna Vashai Vishnu has exhaled, the causing manifestation is present in the form of millions and billions of universes, and when Kara Narna Vashai Vishnu inhales, then all of these universes will be destroyed. So, how to understand the significance of his position? He's actually facilitating the living entities who want to enjoy independently. That's what he's doing. And at the same time, facilitating those living entities who want to recover from the enjoying mood. So to actually appreciate and fully capitalize on the factual presence of Kara Narna Vashaya Vishnu, to the fullest extent. We should be very grateful for the opportunity that he is giving us, of giving us this situation where we can actually regain our original constitutional nature as the eternal servants of Krishna. We want to please that Karanarama Shai Vishnu, then we should surrender to the bona fide spiritual master by following the rules and regulations of Bhakti Yoga with full sincerity to awaken the dormant love of God within our hearts. Any other questions? We're on a strict rule here. We have about 60 seconds or maybe 120 seconds. After that, they pull the plug on the sound system. The timer turns up with the mic, practically speaking. The exact second. This is like NASA, you know, it has to go off at an exact second. The spacecraft has a lift of Vaikuntha. This is like NASA. This is the NASA of ISKCON. Everything is precise. Actually, Prabhupada said punctuality is a first class thing in deity worship. This punctuality here is very nice. RVC, punctuality, key job. So anyway, that being said, we have 20 seconds left. There's nothing, yes? There's nothing further. We will stop here. Thank you all very much. Gantarad Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.